Acts 16. You're looking ahead and trying to figure out why we're doing this. You'll see that Paul and Silas end up in prison, in jail, shackled. And we're going to talk about shackles this morning. Chains that we carry. Chains that Jesus can definitely, just click that on there. Jesus can set free. Thank you. Everybody, thank you. Rich Dion. Appreciate Rich's help. So, I've used these handcuffs and shackles in a message in the past. It's been a long time, so I pulled them out this week, and wouldn't you know it, I couldn't find the key. Looking all over the place, couldn't find my key. I'm good friends with the sheriff here in town, not for bad reasons, but I married him a couple years ago, and then I married his daughter just last summer. So I called him up, and I'm like, man, I hate to ask you, but I need a handcuff key. And he was concerned, but then I explained. And I said, or, you know, real shackles, if you want to bring me brand new shackles. And he said, no, Don, we can't do that. There's a lot of reasons why we can't do that. But I'll give you a key. And we could never connect. So yesterday morning, I was in panic mode. And I'm thinking, who in our church would have a handcuff? Rich Dion. I told Rich, I said, you know, when your name comes up first, when pastor has weird requests, that says something about you. And so Rich was ready, willing, and able, and he helped me out with this today. My prayer is that the illustration will show you visibly what we just talk about in words most of the time in church. So let's go ahead and look at Acts 16. Go ahead and turn on the... Oh, I can do it. All right. Unshackled. Everybody say unshackled. I want to read Acts 16, 16 through 40, the whole context, then we'll pray it in, and we'll talk through the passage. Oh, boy. Acts 16, 16 through 40. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. They dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his households were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he'd come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officials to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us so quietly? No! Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escort them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. May God add his blessing to the reading of our scripture. Let's pray. Would you say this prayer today? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, I pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this message would be edified until they're satisfied, and that Satan would be horrified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So many things happening in this passage, and it starts, we're in Philippi. Remember last week where we ended up? Paul and Silas had made their way. Remember, they couldn't do anything in Turkey and Asia. The Holy Spirit said no. They ended up in Philippi where they met Lydia, the dealer in purple. And the house church is meeting in Lydia's house, so things are moving along. And apparently as they go ministering to people in Philippi, we've got this demon-possessed girl, a slave girl. My first point today is there are powerful spiritual shackles. We open this passage with this demon possession, and it's just very clear that this slave girl is not just a slave earthly, she's a slave spiritually. She is dominated by an evil spirit. Now, I got to do some work on this morning, so bear with me. The Bible actually says spirit pythona. She has a python spirit. And this has to do with Greek mythology, Apollo, and there is an old temple back in this region, Apollo Python, and Apollo actually did battle with this evil spirit Python, more of a dragon, but a python spirit is what the Bible calls it. And I like that. We miss it when it says, it just simply says she had a spirit and she could divine the future. That misses the point. This is a demonic being that possesses her, and it's got a stranglehold. That's why I like the word python. She's got a python spirit. She is totally enwrapped and can't get out of the grasp of this evil demonic spirit. That's the situation she's in. But I want you to notice something. She's yelling every day, "These guys know the truth, and they're telling you how to be saved." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Paul and Silas are trying to tell people the truth, and it's the devil himself that is telling them. They got the truth. They're trying to tell you how to get saved. You need to know something about these powerful spiritual shackles. First, Jesus can unshackle us from even evil demonic forces. Now, we don't talk about this much. We don't get into this realm very often. I don't want to overemphasize it and glorify it, but Satan is still alive and he's still active. And he still can possess people even today. We're going to simply cover what happened in this situation. But you need to know there's nothing happening here that's out of the power of God, because Satan has no authority over God. And the power of Jesus, when he died on the cross, defeated sin and death once and for all, and he's the overcomer. And he puts Satan in his place. I want to read through this so you understand, a good understanding of the power of Jesus to unshackle even from demonic forces. Mark 3:11. "Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, 'You are the Son of God.'" I'm reminded of the passage that says, "Even the demons believe and they tremble." Demonic world knows that Jesus is king. God is the authority. And they're under his subjection. They can't do anything on their own. In Luke 4, verse 34, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I'm using passages to let you know that God's not afraid of these things. Jesus has conquered these evil demon spirits, and they can be cast out. People can be set free. We're talking about a young girl who's a slave. Not just a slave to physical owners, but a slave to this demonic force. She's shackled. But Jesus can unshackle anyone. In Luke 4, verse 41, "Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, 'You are the Son of God,' but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah." I've never preached the gospel using demonic voices, but here it is. The truth is being told to you by demons. He is the Son of God. In Luke 8, verse 28, "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me.'" Ah, friends, there is no power greater than the power of our Lord and Savior. And he can set anyone free. Everybody say free.
Free.
You might not relate to this because it's so extreme. You might not have faced demonic possession. There is times when people call me and they move into a new house or an apartment. People will call me as the pastor to come over and bless the apartment. Now, Mary would tell you, I'm nobody special, right, Mary? I don't have any special power. Mary knows I don't have any special power. But I'm telling you, I'll come over and pray because I do know the one who has power, amen? I'll come with some elders. If you need somebody with titles, we better find somebody else. But I'll come and we'll pray. I'm not going to burn any sage, although I don't mind the smell. I like that kind of, you know, frankincense or whatever. But I will pray. I'll pray for a cleansing. I'm not afraid to do that because in the name of Jesus, Satan must flee. There's power in Jesus, and he can unshackle anyone. So what happens in this passage? What happens is Paul gets annoyed. I mean, he's tired of it. And it kind of looks like he's just tired of being shouted at every day. But I think he's annoyed that this girl has been in bondage. I think he's annoyed that Satan owns this girl. And I think it's the annoyance of the shouting. You know, telling everybody these people know God, and they're going to tell you how to be saved every day. And finally, he has enough, and he just turns around and he says, "I demand you come out in the name of Jesus Christ." And immediately, she is set free. Her shackles are gone. Unseen shackles, but they're shackled no more. Jesus can unshackle us even from our dark, sinful choices. There are demonic shackles, but sometimes there are some shackles of our own doing. This morning I helped Rich get some of these things together. I was kind of helping him, you know, and I actually told him, "Oh, if we put these on backwards, it's going to be uncomfortable." That's not how it works most of the time. Most of the time we put shackles on and we don't have much control. But sin and sin choices can be a powerful chain. And I'm not here to make you feel guilty about that today. My goal is not to make you feel awful about that today. My goal is to tell you, Jesus can unshackle you from your chains. No matter what the addiction, no matter what the problem, just like he can take care of a demon-possessed girl, he can come into your life and release you from the bondage that you're suffering with, even if it was of your own doing. I spent many years in the inner city. I kept this box. It's hidden with these shackles in my house. We'd go into our inner cities in America, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia. I'd take teams, lots of teams from about four or five churches, and we would immediately start cleaning up the streets and the parks where we wanted to do our ministry. The first thing we had to do is go in and clean up the area because we're going to bring children into these parks and tell them about Jesus. But we had to go get rid of all the needles laying in the ground. And the empty bags where cocaine used to rest and all the filth. I had to teach our teens how to pick up garbage in the inner city. I told them, you don't just go down and grab it. They had to wear gloves, but I told them to very carefully reach straight down and carefully pick up. You don't know where there's a needle, and you don't want to get stuck. And then I had to teach them to carefully, if they found a needle, we had a big Gatorade bottle that we would bring, and we would carefully place the needle in the Gatorade bottle so nobody would get stuck with it. But we had to be careful because sometimes we didn't see all the needles. We'd put them in garbage bags, and I was carrying a garbage bag one day, swinging it with my shorts on, and I got stuck right in this calf with a used syringe. Thank God I'm not dead. I got so sick of cleaning up these parks with all the filth that people put in their bodies. Knowing that everybody that a bag represented or a bottle represented or a needle represented was in bondage. They're shackled to something that has control over them. So I started collecting one of everything. Just one. Drug dealers have their own baggies with their own logos on them in most of these cities. So I only kept one of each logo. I have hundreds. Little bottles. More bottles. Pill bottles. Vials. And on it goes. Garbage. All representing shackles. I just wanted to make sure that you know today that even if you put the shackles on, Jesus can set you free. It might not be the drugs. It might be something more sinister because it might be hidden. Some of you are in bondage to pornography. Nobody knows about that, and it doesn't come with a baggie or a vial. But it's just as gripping. That's the Python spirit that Satan uses to get a hold, a stronghold on people and put them in chains. Might be greed. Might be lying. So many things. I don't want this just to be about drugs today, because Satan uses so many things to grip people. But the good news is that Jesus can set you free. Romans 6:6-7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. First thing I'd say today is if you're in bondage, if you've got chains, unseen chains, come to Jesus in faith and receive him as Savior. Die to your old self. The Bible says that a dead man, when he's brought back to life, has no chains. You want to be set free today? Believe in Jesus. In Romans 6:14, it says, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Believer, we're not to be walking around like this in chains. Christians of all people have been set free. So we're to live free. Sin should no longer be your master. Galatians 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Why go back? Why go back? In the inner city, I would sit the kids down in the park after playing in the hot sun. Asphalt most of the time, hot. And we'd give out water, and I'd tell my poopy water story about how bottled water is actually not pure water. It's been purified. And I'd give them the whole speech about where it comes from, that it basically starts in your toilet. And then when they flush that, it goes to a wastewater treatment plant where they put chemicals and acids in it. And they clean it up enough to throw out into our rivers. And then the rivers, it goes out into Lake Michigan. Guess where the bottled water companies pay to grab the water? They go to Lake Michigan, they get this water. It's not clean, pure water. It's poopy water. It's just been purified. And I tell them that once they get the bottled water company gets the water from Lake Michigan, they got to take it back and put more chemicals and more acids in it. And we drink this stuff, and we laugh and look at it and say, it's pure water. This is not pure water. This is poopy water. But it's been purified. I give the gospel like that at every park I go to. And the kids can get that message. They understand, oh man, this had to go through a process. And then nobody wants to drink it anymore for some reason. And every time they take a drink, they think, I think I taste something funny. But here's my point for you today. I truly believe that once Jesus sets you free, you can be free. So don't put your life back in the toilet. Believer, don't go back into the toilet.
He's purified you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But stop swimming in the toilet!
Have you been set free? And then, in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John Stott famously said, Christian freedom is a freedom to serve, not a freedom to sin. I don't like legalism, but I do believe Christian freedom has been taken to a wrong degree. We're not given freedom as Christians to sin. We're given freedom to serve. We've been set free to be slaves of Christ, not to be slaves to a master that will bondage you, a python spirit. Not only are there powerful spiritual shackles, there are powerful earthly shackles. What happens in this passage? Well, Paul and Silas are in big trouble because they just ruined the moneymaker. This girl who was able to divine the future and tell people what was coming, and they were able to make money off of her, that spirit's gone now. And so they're mad. The owners say, they've ruined our income. And so they trump up some charges, and they take him before the magistrates, and these are troublemakers, right? Even though they just set this girl free from this demonic activity. And what do? The people of the town get all worked up, and they have the magistrates beat them with rods, strip them naked. Beat them with rods until they're a bloody pulp, and then throw them in jail. Then you heard what the Bible said, not just in jail, but in lockdown in the center of the jail, because the people in charge said, make sure they don't get out. Make sure you guard them well. And they're put in the middle of the jail, not just in jail, but shackled still, feet and hands beaten and bloody. Sometimes there are shackles put onto us in this earth. This whole series is called The Upside Down World. We live in an upside down world, and sometimes there'll be shackles. So here's what I want to say about that. Jesus can unshackle us from overwhelming fear. Our friends, don't be dismayed. I know that the things that you see, even last night, if you watched the TV or if you've been watching the news this morning, another crazy gunman opened fire. And it's crazy, it's ludicrous, it's hateful. And we could live in a spirit of fear, but because of Jesus, we don't have a spirit of fear. Jesus can unshackle us. I love the example of Paul and Silas in this story because they are beaten, naked, chained, thrown in a jail. And the next words we hear is, they pray and sing hymns. Can you imagine that? Now, you strip me naked, beat me, put me in these chains, throw me on a cement floor. I don't know if my first thought's going to be pray and sing. But they began to pray. They weren't oblivious to their pain. I believe their prayer was, Lord, we need your help. Lord, come save us now. Lord, help us. We're in dire straits here. We need your help. But they prayed, but then they also sang hymns. Wow. What a friend we have. All our griefs. And what else would they have sung? Anybody have a song? What do you think they would have sung? Song? I can't hear you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Give me another song. It is well with my soul. Can you imagine? Now, they didn't have those songs. Those songs were written way after that they were in prison, but they had their hymns. And so they began to sing worship of our God. Can you imagine? Facing the wrath of all that humanity can do, they chose to pray and they chose to sing. God, through Jesus, can unshackle us from overwhelming fear. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. We sing that around here. I sought the Lord, and the Lord heard me. It's right out of the book of Psalms. I wonder if they were singing those kind of psalms in jail that night. In Psalm 56 and verse 3, it says this: "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." Jesus can unshackle us from overwhelming fear. I don't know what you're going through or what you're facing. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's medical. Maybe it's the chains that we're talking about today that you feel like you're in bondage and you can't get free. You don't need to live in fear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He can set you free from fear. Jesus could unshackle us from our unseen chains. You know the rest of the story. Around midnight, the earth began to shake. They've been praying. They've been worshiping God. And don't forget, there's other prisoners there, probably not believers. We do know from this passage that they've been listening. Maybe there's nothing else you can do because you're a captive audience. You're going to listen. But they're praying to the Most High God and they're singing worship to the Most High God. And then all of a sudden, there's an earthquake and all the doors open and the chains come loose. Jailbreak! That would have been my first thought. Let's get to getting while the getting's good. But they don't. In the darkness, they just stay. Maybe it's shell shock. Maybe they don't know. Maybe Paul and Silas said nobody leaves. We don't know exactly, but they all stayed put. Because when the guard who was given the charge to make sure you take care of these, when the guard came and he saw the doors were open, he grabs a sword. It was Roman policy that the guard was in charge of keeping the prisoners. And if they failed their duties, they became the fate of the prisoners. He knew that his life was over when he saw the doors were open. And he assumed that they had all fled. So he picks up a sword to kill his own life when you hear Paul say, "Don't do that." We're all still here. Wow. I find it interesting. Oh man, I'm going to have a hard time finding this. I find it interesting what the jailer said. He calls for the lights, rushed in, trembles before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, friends, we talked about a demonic girl this morning. And we talked about hidden sins. But this jailer who was in charge of the jail was the one who was handcuffed. And he needed to be rescued. I don't know what Paul and Silas did in their prayers, and I don't know what they sang. But this guy actually knew he had a need of a Savior. The gospel had somehow been presented, and now he's coming and begging them, "Come tell me, just tell me, how can I get saved?" Turns out that the prisoners were the freedom givers, and the guard was in jail. The Bible says that he and his whole household comes to faith. The guard takes Paul and Silas, cleans their wound. This is all happening 3-4 in the morning. Cleaning their wounds, giving them some food. He goes on, Paul and Silas, to proclaim more of the gospel, the good news, and the word of God. And the man not only came to faith, but his whole household came to faith, and they all got baptized. Incredible. Jesus can unshackle us from our unseen chains. How many people this morning came into Oakwood and you're like me, but you just can't see the chains? You've never been set free from your number one need, and that's salvation. Have you ever put your trust in Christ? Have you ever had a moment where you said, "God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my life as Savior, Lord." Have you had a moment where you put your faith in the one who can set you free? 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Do you need freedom today? Do you need to be unshackled from something? Do you need to be unshackled from a sin issue? Jesus can set you free. Do you need to be unshackled from fear of living as a Christian in an upside down world? Jesus can set you free. Do you need to be set free because you're shackled with your own sin, never been forgiven? Jesus can set you free. Conclusion today is God set us free through Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will experience true freedom. I love the gospel. Paul and Silas, when the prisoner guard says, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer was clear. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Has that happened in your life yet? As I get ready to close, when I first did this message, it was in front of a bunch of teenagers at a conference, and I didn't know much about handcuffs. Back then, you could actually order anything. It wasn't illegal, and I ordered shackles and handcuffs, and I bought my own chains, and I thought, this is going to be great. And so I actually found a guard at the school that was presenting this at, and I asked the guard, "Hey, can you hold this key, and then will you come put handcuffs on me when I tell you to, and then set me free at the end?" And he goes, yeah. Something interesting happened that day. I did not make the same mistake twice. He came to the stage and he started putting the cuffs on me. And while he was doing that, he was whispering something. And he was urgent. And I kept saying, don't worry about it. So he put the cuffs on me, both hands and feet, and I started to preach. And immediately I knew I was in trouble. Apparently, criminals know this, I guess. There's a back lock on handcuffs. If you don't turn the back lock on, every time you move, the chains get tighter. The cuffs will keep clenching tighter. So as I began to preach that message, within about a minute, I knew, I'm in trouble. My feet started to hurt. My fingers and hands turned blue. There was no blood. It hurt. I was in pain. Halfway through the message, the people in charge of the conference in the front row, they're looking at me saying, "Do you need help? Do you need help?" And I'm like, let it go. And I told the audience, I'm hurting. This is uncomfortable. And I'm in pain. And the people in charge are asking me if I need help. Yeah. I need to be set free. Closed the message in prayer, and that security guard, that was his cue, he ran down the aisle because he knew I was in trouble. He ran to the front. And, oh, when he set me free, did that feel good? I didn't want to experience it again, sorry. When you experience that, you don't ever want to go back. So this morning I say to you, are you in chains? Is it this stuff that the world says this will bring you joy and pleasure that brings you nothing but jail and imprisonment? Are you in chains of fear? Are you in chains this morning and not living free because of something in your life? I just want you to know clearly from this passage, from Paul and Silas, Jesus can set you free from whatever it is. But if you've never come to faith in Him, then you'll never experience this. Or you can try to get sober. You can try to stop doing this or that. You can try willpower if it comes to lust or overeating or lying. You can try willpower. But until the Son sets you free, until the Son sets you free, you don't have much hope. He'll bring you freedom and open the chains. But first you have to come to Him and say, "I believe. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life as my Savior and Lord. And He will set you free." Rich, can you come do it? I thought about just having the key myself. But you know what? The honest truth is we can't undo ourselves. You got to have help. And I'm thankful that Rich has the key. I want to pray and close and have the team come up as we get ready to close our message today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for freedom. I thank you that you set us free from the bondage. Sometimes that we place ourselves. Sometimes it's the bondage that we get placed in because of the things of this world. But God, no matter what it is, whether it's spiritual or earthly, whether it's seen or unseen, I'm thankful today that this passage proclaims that this prison guard in charge of the jail was the one who received freedom. I thank you for all of this, the promise you give, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.